Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but you want to continue over there just to keep checking out what's going on. You never know when Schomburg Stewart, Mr. Fantasy, might actually post something over there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
So, and sadly, Dan and I were talking off the air. We will not be receiving a FanDuel lineup from Mr. Fantasy today. I did not get a reason why. I texted him about 15 minutes before the show asking if we were getting one, and his reply was just flat out no. So I did look at some of the stats he uses, and I can tell you, you know, he likes that website, that oddshark.com. And now I'm going to tell you, Dan, if this is correct, then the pitcher you need to be going with tonight is Blake Snell. Because on oddshark.com, they have the Royals scoring. He's pitching against Kansas City tonight, obviously. They have Kansas City scoring only 2 runs against him tonight. So he would... He would be the guy to have if you're looking to kind of follow along some of, you know, Mr. Fantasy's wisdom or, you know, however you would want to look at it. So, you know, good luck if you go that route. I mean, it, you know, hopefully it works out for you. I did put a lineup together, Dan, and obviously, you know, I'm no Mr. Fantasy, but this is what I came up with for tonight. Let me save it here because I had to take Starlin Castro out of it because he's not starting. I did go with Blake Snell. I followed his reasoning. I went that route. It's only $6,900 too for Blake Snell, so it's not bad. Buster Posey is my catcher at $3,200. Ryan Zimmerman at first base. I paid the $4,600 for him, but he's been so hot. I saved money with the pitcher. Javi Baez at second for $3,600. Yunel Escobar at third for $2,900. Alesmes Diaz at short for $3,200. And then my outfield is Cody Bellinger at $3,300. Brett Gardner at $3,500. And Giancarlo Stanton at $3,700. So that's my personal lineup using the pitcher I was just kind of guessing Mr. Fantasy would use. And then I kind of built the lineup myself. You know, he's much more sabermetric. You know, I just kind of look and see who's hot and who's not and try to build it around that way. As you can tell, you know, Zimmerman's in my lineup because he's been a monster. So, you know, I kind of worked it that way. And hoping with Baez in Colorado, Dan, that he hits a couple dingers for me tonight. So, you know, and I just, you know, I just, where the heck was I going? Yeah, the only guy I didn't do a ton of research into was Stanton, but I kind of wanted to play him because he hit 2 bombs for me the other night, and I'm just kind of hoping that continues. So...
You didn't go with Darwin Barney?
No, I did not. You know, Ollie, we talked about Darwin Barney, and I'll give credit where credit is due. You know, Mr. Fantasy mentioned yesterday that if you were looking to save money, I believe Barney is, I don't remember if he's listed as a shortstop or second baseman, but he could be a good choice to plug in if you were a guy looking to save some money yesterday. And yeah, sure enough, you would have got the bomb out of him. So, but since we are on fantasy, Dan, we might as well jump right into it. Can you reveal to us who your fantasy player and I guess pitcher of the week was, right? We're doing one of each now.
Well, we've always been doing one of each.
Originally the weird part was that I think I only intended to do one, but then since you picked two, we just stuck with it. So you got a fantasy pit player and pitcher of the week then. Let us know who you went with and, of course, why.
Well, this week, usually I have, like, I've been going with, you know, a number one and then a runner-up and sometimes a number three. But this week, hands down, I think if you went with him for pitcher, if you went with him both times he started, and if you're you, I think you have him in one of the leagues for regular fantasy, hands down, Chris Sale is the fantasy pitcher of the week. You know, if you look at it, he got two wins, quality start. He only got one quality start, so that one, I think if he would have, you know, had a second one, he would have been monster for you. When it comes to FanDuel, the one negative, of course, were the six runs he gave up. But, I mean, 21Ks, I think, is huge. I don't think anyone was even close to that for, you know, the last 7 days. And this week I went Sunday to Sunday because I forgot to do it again in the morning. So I'm probably going to go Sunday to Sunday from now on. I'm going to try to do, you know, Monday to Sunday, but whatever. But then again, maybe that's how when they do 7 days, they go from Monday to Sunday. And then, of course, the 14 innings pitched count. That gives you a lot of FanDuel points. And then this one, for the hitter of the week, I thought it was kind of a big one. I've never heard of him before. Coming out of Houston, I believe it is. Marwin Gonzalez. So, you know, he gave you five runs, three singles, a double. It would have been nice if he gave you a triple. But he gave you four bombs with 12 RBIs. He stole a base, he was hit by a pitch, and he walked three times. So he almost hit every category last week. So I think, you know, it's not like I'm looking for underrated or, you know, that kind of guy. I'm just going by the stats and kind of what the FanDuel point, you know, point system goes by. And that's my two fantasy players of the week.
Yes, and for change, people, believe it or not, I got to go in and correct Dan's misspelling of a player's name instead of him getting to do it to me. So,
what do you mean?
You misspelled Marwin Gonzalez's first name. You had him as like Martin. So I went in and fixed it. And that never happens. That may be the first time in, I think, since we've been doing Sports Time Radio that I've gotten to do that. Normally it's Dan correcting whatever I screw up with my wonderful spelling. So this, we have to mark this date somewhere. You know, I'll have to celebrate this every year like Cinco de Mayo. So
Cinco de Ocho.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I'm used to doing it with Mr. Fantasy. He can barely spell his own name. So, but yeah, Dan normally is right on top of him. So it was kind of fun. But, you know, Dan, I got to tell you, since we're on baseball, I was incredibly distraught this afternoon. You know, I got up, and sadly last night my big fat ass broke the toilet seat. So I had the MLB Network on while I was changing out the toilet seat. And I'm listening to the start of, I think, The Rundown was the show that was on. Or it may have been the one after, which is, I think, MLB something or other tonight or yesterday or whatever. And Carlos Pena is talking about, now this is former Major League Baseball player Carlos Pena, how much he didn't like last night's 19-inning game between the Cubs and the Yankees because it was just too long. And he really thinks they need to adopt the rule where you stick a runner out on second to start the inning, even though the guy didn't earn it and he's got absolutely no reason to be out there, and start the inning like that. Dan, I got to tell you, I lost all respect for Carlos Pena. I now think he's a gigantic piece of crap, and anytime I see him on my television, I will turn it off because he's an embarrassment as a former player.
Sadly, you're fixing the swing. See how that works?
You did what?
Oddly, at that time, you were fixing the toilet. See how that works?
Yes. Yeah, it was the perfect time for it, you know, for that to kind of work out, because that's where he belonged. I couldn't believe listening to this idiot, and that's all he was an idiot. He was just talking like a bored child is literally what he sounded like. Now, you know, obviously, I don't think you or I were up probably, well, I didn't even make it through the official 9 innings because it's a Mickey Mouse Network game and they take 5 hours anyways, and that's not counting extra innings. Did you make it through the full 9?
I actually made it to the 10th because I thought it was,
Now, believe it or not, our good friend Schomburg Stu, who was twice Dan's age, made it through the entire game. He stayed up till, 1:30 or whatever in the morning and watched all 18 innings, and then, of course, couldn't sleep because the Cubs lost. But he mentioned that, there were quite a few scoring chances in extra innings, and both teams had attempts, and, the game was riveting enough that way, not to where you had to put a guy on second to change the outcome like that. You know, it was just the fact, I think he was telling me the Cubs had runners on second and third with what may have been one out, and they just couldn't get a hit to drive a run in and win the game. And then obviously Schwarber made that fantastic catch. Was that the 10th or the 11th he did that?
It was after the 10th.
Yeah, so it may have been the 11th. He made that great catch going into the stands. There were a lot of obviously cool, interesting things going on, and yet this jackass wants to put a runner out at second base to start the innings after 9. So I don't know. Maybe he needs a new job or something. Something to keep him excited so he can watch baseball that he makes a living off of after the Cubs overpaid him a couple years there. So,
way over to him. But I mean, they act like this happens all the time. Just like
right.
A pinch and a walk. It doesn't happen all that often.
Yeah, it's just, it was just irritating. And I get it when the D-backs like Brian Kenny suggested, because, that's what he does. He's supposed to be the irritant or whatever. If it was a wrestling show, he would be the heel announcer. I get it. That's his job. He does it very well because I hate his guts. He's a complete turd to me. But, you get this guy out there who used to play these games, and should know the little intricacies of what goes on and what these guys are trying to do and, how pitchers are trying to work hitters. Well, maybe not, because Pena struck out like every other at bat. So he may not realize what a pitcher's trying to do out there. But I guess since they didn't hit a home run in extra innings, because that's pretty much all he did was hit a homer or strike out, he just didn't understand the game.
I think that's what happens when they're in the studio all night. Maybe, God forbid.
Yeah, maybe that was the problem. Is he was the guy who got stuck in the studio watching it. But oddly, I don't think he was, because I know Billy Ripken did Quick Pitch, their overnight highlight show with the weekend lady who hosts it. I believe her name is Jamie Hirsch. I know it's Heidi Watney during the week, but I think Jamie Hirsch does it on the weekends. And Billy Ripken was on there breaking some stuff down with her, so he may have got it. But, because Pena was talking about how, they used it in the World Baseball Classic and it worked so well. How many games went to extra innings in the World Baseball Classic, Dan? Were there a lot? I mean, obviously I didn't watch it, But were there a lot that I didn't know of? I mean, was like every game an extra inning game?
I guess so. I mean, they had to do something to generate people. See, that's the difference. They had to do something to generate the people's interest in the World Baseball Classic because it's not there.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Dan, it didn't work because I wasn't interested at all.
I mean, why not just put a guy on third base then?
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the, you know, the weird thing about it. And, you know, the odd part is, you know, if you put a runner on second, okay, there's nobody out. Now, depending on where you are in your order, isn't the first guy going to bunt him over to third to get a runner on third with one out? And then, you know, if you're on the right part of your order, a sacrifice five brings him home. And, you know, like Pena tried to point out, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal because the home team will get a shot at it too. You know, it's not like the game would end if the visitors score. Yeah, but neither team earned that run. You know, I mean, if I'm the reliever and that's counting against my ERA and that's going to cost me money in the off season because you're just adding a guy out there, you know, I mean, there's a lot of stats that, you know, go into how these guys get paid, you know, inherited runners scored and all, you know, all that other kind of BS that goes with it. You know, you're taking money out of my pocket now because why? You didn't want to stay up to watch a game? You know, I mean, it's not like he had to, you know, get work. He didn't, you know, he didn't have to be at the network early. His show didn't start till, you know, 3 o'clock Eastern time. You know, what, he gets there at, you know, what, noon or one, and they slap some makeup on him, he goes on camera? You know, whoopee. But yeah, I think I got to go back to my old MLB Network rule from last year that I can't watch it unless it's intentional talk, an actual baseball game, or like the quick pitch highlight show, because then I don't have to listen to the toolboxes, you know, pontificate about their brilliant ideas to make a game better that's been great for 100 plus years. You know, but now, you know, now we got to speed it up and we got to stick runners on second. And, you know, I mean, like the intentional walk thing wasn't that big a deal to me because I think I've seen one all year, you know, in the first month of the season. I think I've witnessed one. I don't know how many there actually were. So I know in one game, I think there were two in a row because the team walked the bases loaded. But, you know, whoopee, that's not that big of a deal. But, yeah, I just... You know, I can't deal with the, you know, it's only May, Dan. It's only May, and I can't deal with the stupidity. Normally, I make it at least to the All-Star break.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in all honesty, when it comes down to it, the intentional walk rule, while we're just used to the game the way it was, for today's game, it makes sense because you're so concerned about, you know, a pitcher's pitch count. And,
yeah.
and, you know, because that extra – four pitches is really going to make a freaking difference. But, I mean, I think with the fact that they added the instant replay and how, you know, I actually heard Lennon JD actually for the first time say something smart that they don't think it's working the way it's supposed to. You know, that it should be a lot quicker. I was like, you know, I was floored. I almost fell off my bed. Because I'm like, wow, these guys aren't talking about Pearl Jam for Eddie Vedder for one. And
or food.
You got to believe Aaron Boone, I think, for the lead announced on the broadcast team last night. Had to bring up Eddie Vedder. I'm like, I'm so sick of hearing about him. I don't care. I don't care who Eddie Vedder's favorite club player was, that he sits in the booth with Theo. I don't care about any of that. But regardless, I mean, I think with the addition of the instant replay, and with the intentional walk, well, yeah, you know, let's just get it over with. Just put them on. So, but as for adding a guy to second base, I mean, that kind of plays all into sabermetrics, and it just doesn't work for the game of baseball. And Big Jack, I haven't received the CBA yet. That's still not out. Still being handled with the lawyers and all that. But I did get this year's updated version of Major League Baseball rules. I skimmed through half of it because it's pretty damn boring. But under rule 1.02, in parentheses, it's 5.04. I don't know what that really means. But then this is why, this is what's going to dispel a lot of the sabermetrics and why today's game has kind of lost sight of it, you know, i.e. the stolen base. The offensive team's objective is to have its batter become a runner and its runners advance. So, therefore, sacrifices and stolen bases is an object and part of the game that shouldn't be taken away just because, you know, a guy with fluffy hair thinks that stolen bases don't count.
Yeah, you know, it's a, you know, stolen base and sacrifices are a lost part of the game. Oddly, though, I think if we put a runner out at second in extra innings, we'd see more sacrifices. You know, because if you're not in the heart of the order, the first thing you want to do, one's going to want to do is get that guy to third. So. But, yeah, it was weird because, you know, I had one of those nights I woke up, you know, being an old man, I wake up, you know, multiple times to go to the bathroom through the night, even though I'm getting up at, you know, 2:30 in the morning anyways. And I got up at 1:15. And I just happened to catch it on the radio that the game was still going on. And at first I thought I was just out of it. You know, and then they're like, yeah. And they gave the, you know, they gave the score. And I was like, holy crap, they're still playing? Like, geez. So.
Yeah, it was like game six or seven of the World Series when Joe Maddon overused Aroldis Chapman and he just couldn't handle it.
Yeah, and, you know, yeah, like, you know, oddly, that's, you know, how they got there last night was, you know, it was Chapman who, you know, couldn't get those, you know, those last outs. So, kind of bad flashback, at least for Chapman. Oh, so, but, yeah, I am wondering, you know, what kind of effects it'll have, you know, on both teams tonight, because, you know, at first I thought the Yankees had a day off, but I don't believe they do. You know, the Cubs had to get on a plane and go to Colorado, and the Yankees got to go to Cincinnati, so at least they had a little shorter trip. But, yeah, you know, I just wonder. Cincinnati who just swept the Giants. You know, and I know, like, for the Cubs, you know, didn't Arrieta end up pinch hitting last night? And it's not like he can really leave the game early. I know sometimes they'll send the next day starter home, but since he had to fly out anyways, I don't think it mattered. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how both of these teams kind of react tonight. You know, I mean, obviously it's a, you know, a very long night. You figure the game didn't end till, you know, 1:30-ish. Then they've got to kind of get out of there. You know, the Yankees, well, maybe somebody packed for them, but you figure, you know, you're not at the airport till what, 2:30 or 3? How long's the flight to Colorado, Dan?
3-4 hours.
Yeah, and they're an hour ahead anyways, you know, being in the Rocky Mountain time zone. So you figure, you know, the Cubs landed at 6 or 7. You know, it could be a, you know, one of those days that just kind of screws up the, you know, your routine and stuff, because you probably, you know, end up sleeping all day. I know it's a 7:40 start our time. You know, the Yankees have a little earlier start. They have a 6:10 start, being that they had to go to Cincinnati. Obviously a little shorter trip, but they still got in there late. So, yeah, we'll have to see if, you know, either team or both teams kind of has ill effects from the trip.
Yeah, you've got to imagine how both Joes will cancel batting practice.
Yeah, you would figure you would have to, you know, make it optional, or, you know, let them, you know, kind of do it their way today just to make sure they're rested and ready. So, you know, but it is, you know, Masahiro Tanaka's pitching for the Yankees tonight. Rookie Davis goes for the Reds. And then the Cubs, of course, Jake Arrieta, like I mentioned, is pitching. And the Rockies are throwing Antonio Sensatella, I guess is how I'm going to pronounce it, who's actually been, was pretty good for them for his first few starts. I know he struggled lately. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But real quick, Dan, here's the rest of the schedule. The also struggling Giants are at the New York Mets. That's the Mickey Mouse Network game of the night. The Nationals are at the Orioles, so a battle of first-place teams there. Or maybe the Orioles are in second now. The Indians at the Blue Jays. I mentioned the Yankees at the Reds. The Cardinals are at the Marlins. The Royals are at the Rays. Of course, we got the Cubs at the Rockies. The Angels are at the A's. The Pirates are at the Dodgers. And the Rangers are at the Padres. So there you go. There's your night on the diamond quickly.
I actually went with Sensatella, and I have 7 free rolls tonight for MLB. I'm hoping one of them pans out. I went with Tanaka in one, Sensatella in one. I went with Jake Arrieta in one. I went with Snell in one. So we'll see how things work out. Hopefully I can get a couple bucks to fill up my balance and then I can start spending again.
Yeah, you know, I could use a big win. I'm kind of getting those, you know, I won like $1.80 or $2.50 or something like that. I need a double digit win here to kind of catapult myself into, because I think I'm down a couple bucks. I think I'm down $2 from the start of the year to kind of make that up and give myself a nice cushion. That would be really nice. So we'll have to see how that works.
Yeah, I mean,
but I was
yesterday was pretty cool. I mean, it sucks. I wish all my players scored. I wish I would have come with a better catcher because I went with Gio Soto, who got me 0. I thought the Nico something, but he got 0. And then Conforto, I mean, 3 teams that just got 0. But I mean, all in all, I fell out of take it because I placed 195th out of 2,600. So, wish I could have.
Yeah, hey, that's not bad at all. You know, I'm always happy to win anything. I don't care if it's spare change. You know.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, you know, I want to get your take on this one here, Dan. You know, apparently Matt Hardy just didn't show up at Citi Field for a game last weekend, and the Mets suspended him 3 days. Now, he's scheduled to make a start on Friday. Obviously, the guy who took his place yesterday, Adam Wilk, got knocked around. So, you know, not only did he, you know, kind of screw up or whatever, but he cost his team a game in reality there. Now, I've heard some people say that it's time for the Mets to kind of move on from Harvey. Are you in that camp, or are you just kind of, like his general manager said, you make a mistake, you stand up and be accountable and move on? Or are you kind of in that camp?
No, I think, you know, after the injury, because apparently he had a migraine and just didn't feel like going. I don't know if there's a miscommunication or if you don't get like a sick day or something. But I mean, Jose Reyes, some would say he called him out. I wouldn't really say he called him out in quite of a negative way, but you know, he said, you know, you've got to remember we're employees. You got to show up.
Yeah, you know, it's not like he was scheduled to pitch. So, you know, it's not like he was going to go to the mound with a migraine or anything. But, yeah, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, kind of looking at, you know, Harvey's stats, you know, he, along with some of those other Met guys, you know, he looked like he was going to be a breakout guy. You know, in 2013, he finished 4th in the Cy Young voting at age 24. You know, the next year he went out, he was 13-8 with a 2.71 ERA. That was 2015, obviously. After that, he's been nothing but an injured bust here, Dan. You know, he's made 23 starts and he's 6-12 with an ERA over 5.
Oh, you know, it's not your fault.
Yeah, I know, because I actually had him last year. I was buying the Matt Harvey hype last year. I thought he would bounce back and have a fantastic year, and oh, boy, did he suck. So, you know, and I know he had that odd thoracic injury that, you know, nobody had ever seen before on a baseball player, but, yeah, you know, I guess you got to start asking, and I know some people will tell you pitchers don't hit their prime until they're 30, but I'm starting to wonder, Dan, if maybe this is the road these hard-throwing guys go down. You know, because if you remember, you know, when Dwight Gooden got hurt, he came back and did okay, but he was never Doc Gooden again. He was Dwight Gooden. He was just never Doc. You know, Harvey's been back, and he's not really the Dark Knight anymore. He's just kind of a bottom-of-the-rotation guy who can't keep his team in games. You know, I mean, if you're a team, are you, you know, if they're interested in moving him, are you looking, are you interested if you're a team, a contender maybe?
That's hard to say. I mean, when you think of a team like the Giants, so to speak, they went with Matt Moore, and look what that got him. For the Dodgers, you
know, look what it got.
Pitching. Would you want to go after him? I don't think the Cubs would make that kind of deal.
Yeah. It's odd. You know, I mean, it's a little early, I think, for anybody to really, you know, make a move. But, you know, I mean, like a team like the Red Sox could use help at the bottom of the rotation. I think the Yankees probably could too. The Cubs definitely would, but, you know, they could use the help, but I don't know if they would make the move. You know, yeah, I guess it's just a matter of, you know, are you buying he can get close to what he was? And then, you know, of course, the ultimate thing is what would they want for him? Because obviously you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be willing to give up a lot for a broke down, more or less has been of a pitcher at this point. So, I mean, he's proven nothing in these last, you know, what was it, 23 starts or whatever.
No, and that's the thing. Everyone's basing everything off of 2015 when he went 13-8. While he did start 29 games, is what, you know, you really want out of your pitcher, even though the old days, what was it? You know, my old days was with 32 starts. I think your old days
was 35.
Yeah. So, I mean, but 29 is still solid. 189 pitches, that's not 200. You're close enough. No one's really worried about, you know, how many hits you give up. But he only gave up 18 home runs and struck out 188 times, with the opponent's batting average sitting at 222. I mean, it was a solid year. You know, you're basing it off of 1 year, though. I mean, if that was 3 years in a row, you know, if we went back to, you know, 2014, 2013, and even 2012, if he did those kind of numbers consistently, I could see why he could be the next great thing. But he did it 1 year, and then, like you said, he got hurt. So last year, he only pitched 92 innings. I mean, he went 4-10 with a 4.86 ERA with 17 starts. I mean, you know, it's amazing how quickly he peaked and he kind of washed himself out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you just start to wonder, you know, again, you know, with this, you know, with the Mets here, you know, they were supposed to have this rotation that was just going to dominate and, you know, lead them to World Series after World Series. And, you know, they got there the one time and, you know, Harvey hasn't been able to stay healthy since. Steven Motz is hurt all the time. Zach Wheeler is just back. I mean, I figure if he pitches, you know, if Wheeler pitches, what, 120 innings this year, the Mets would be happy with that. You know, Harvey's had nothing but problems. I think the only one who's been consistently healthy has been DeGrom. So, you know what I mean? You know, because Syndergaard's got the lap thing now. I just saw where he's out. They just moved him to the 60-day DL. So who knows if he'll be back. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's nuts when, you know, you look and, I mean, you know, this was the talk, you know, hey, okay, look at what they're doing here. They're going to win with pitching. You know, they just need a little bit of offense. And they got it 1 year, and the staff can't stay together.
I wonder where Jonas is going next year.
Yeah. So, you know, and I know the one, I'm trying to remember one of the experts on the MLB, and now I'm disappointed that I can't remember his name because he actually agreed with me. He went back to the thing where the reason the pitchers are having all these arm problems now is because they're throwing too much at a young age. You know, when your 10-year-old is pitching 12 months a year, you have a problem. Because he should be playing basketball, he should be playing football, he should be wrestling, he should be running track, he should be doing other things besides just throwing a baseball. You know, of course, we'll never get parents off that because every parent wants to cash in off his child's, you know, millions of dollars of contracts and stuff. You know, good old LeVar Ball. So, you know, it's just one of those odd things, but I was just happy somebody agreed with me.
Yeah, everyone wants their baller brand.
Yeah, did you see they sold less than 100 pair of shoes for the Open?
Well, you know, I found an interesting thing, and I'm going to steal it from Jonathan Hood. I don't know if he's the one who, you know, really started this one going across, you know, but I heard it on Friday after we did our thing, and he goes, you know, maybe that price tag is up there because he only has 10 shoes made, and he needs the money to make them shoes.
Well, if I heard correctly, they were talking to Darren Rovell, who does the business stuff for the Mickey Mouse Network, and I guess the plan was the reason they weren't shipping shoes into until November is because he's only going to make as many as he needs. So there won't be any extra inventory of these shoes like there would be when, you know, Steph Curry's shoe comes out or like Paul George's shoe was just coming out, you know, stuff like that. There's no extra inventory here. He's making just what's paid for. So I don't think he has the money to make a gross of shoes and then sell them. So, but yeah, I found it interesting. They didn't give an exact number, but they said less than 100. Yeah, you know, obviously there's still plenty of time. You know, like we always, you know, the joke with our fantasy league is it's only May, so there is plenty of time to, you know, for him to sell some more shoes, but. You know, I'm not expecting him to sell very, very many more than he already has.
Yeah, well, and I think it also, you know, once the draft happens and if the Lakers take him like he wants them to, that might, you know, give him another couple hundred pairs. And, you know, come the problem with that date, though, is the NBA season doesn't start until right around, right around Halloween. You know,
yeah,
unless
LeBron usually,
bump it up any. You know, so this kid, if whatever team he plays for, he's got about 10, 15 days to shine to boost those sales. Otherwise, you know, you're going to have to wait for the Lonzo threes, right?
Yeah. Or you'll have to wait for what is the next one? Lamar or something like that, the next son. So
well, I mean,
you know, you'll have to wait.
This original pair. So I mean, you know, he really has about 15 days to shine, 10 days to shine to boost that sale. You know. But I mean, to top it off, I've never paid for Jordan getting in there close to $200 range. When I was in my 20s, my guy was Allen Iverson, and I, to be honest, I don't believe his shoes went up to $100. But then again, my cousin also worked at a shoe store, so I got a discount.
Yeah, the only shoes with a name on it I've ever owned have been Chuck Taylor.
Yeah.
So, I've never paid for anybody else's shoes. You know, no Jordan, no, LeBron. Maybe someday down the line here I'll actually do it, but attractive to me. My problem is if I paid that money for a shoe, I wouldn't want to wear it.
Yeah, well, that was good.
I wouldn't want to get dirty.
That's the difference, too. When I bought those shoes, I had like three pairs of the Answers. Because it was the Answer. The biggest difference back then, though, was I actually played ball. Not professional, not at least. Me and my cousin and our friends, we were out there almost every day playing basketball. So you need a good pair of basketball shoes.
That's why I had my Chuck Taylors. I was good to go. So I see here on, what is this? I think this is eBay, Dan. You can still get some AI shoes if you're interested. Right around $100. There's a pair here for $299. Answer threes. Is that the which ones did you have?
I actually have the Qs. They're red, white, and blue, and I had the off the clock. And then I had the. I remember these because they were my favorite pairs of basketball shoes or sneakers, as some would say. And then I had the red and white ones that came out in 2001. That was my 21st birthday, and that's what I did. I bought Allen Iverson shoes. For 22nd, I don't know. But yeah, I was actually thinking about looking them up on eBay earlier today, but I forgot.
There actually is a basketball game tonight, Dan. We have game four of the Western Conference semis. We got Golden State at Utah. Of course, Golden State is up 3-0. Are they closing this thing out tonight? Put Utah out of their misery?
They're closing it out.
Like the Cavs did over the weekend to the Raptors?
Yeah. Well, and to support you and FanDuel, they can give me free NBA all next year. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I'm still struggling in the playoffs. I told you, we talked about it. I was doing so well at the end of the season that I actually spent some money on some basketball leagues. I don't think I won, but I still did pretty well. I was up in the 300-point range. Now I just, for the playoffs, I just stink. I am horrible.
Yeah, I don't get it. So I don't even, I haven't even attempted at the NHL.
I never did well in hockey.
We'll see about the NFL this year. I feel like
I always try with hockey. I play the free ones to kind of warm up, but I do that with the NBA too. I play the free ones until I get a system, and I'm confident enough in the system to bet money on it. And the NHL, I just could never get anything that worked for me reliably. Do you spend the money on the goalie? Do you go cheap on the goalie? You spend the money on the players and, for the NBA, I just can't guess which right high, big time player is going to go off.
I know.
If I take Steph Curry, right? I think I had Steph Curry the other night, and it was KD who went nuts.
Yeah.
So just kind of like great, right team, wrong guy. You know, we do that in baseball all the time. You know, you're in the right game and you've got players from that team on your lineup and it's everybody else who's hitting. So
yeah, well, you know,
it's just one of those things.
The NBA, you were teasing me yesterday because I was watching the app because games are on TNT and TNT doesn't have an app on Roku or Apple TV, so highly disappointed with them.
Yeah.
I'd watched a couple baseball games. Yesterday I had to just do nothing. My back was, you know, overexerted, so I just had to lay with a heating pad and my daughter fell asleep, so I watched, you know, the Marlins, so I could watch Urania. Actually helped me out fantasy wise. I was watching something else, and then later on in the afternoon, I was like, oh, I forgot the Cavs. I thought, for some reason, I thought the Cavs would be the middle game and not the early game. So I wanted to check that out to see if Toronto would at least win one. So it'll be interesting in the offseason to see what the hell happens to Toronto. Because now everyone's going, who's leaving? You know, everyone's going to leave that team. But, I mean, Washington is not has been confused. So I don't know who the hell it's going to be. San Antonio confused the hell out of me, too. I don't know if we're going to get Golden State Rockets or Golden State Spurs. Are we going to get Cleveland Boston or Cleveland Washington? I don't know, but, I mean, the way it looks, can't we just skip it all and just go to the finals and just give them two, you know, give them the rest of the month off and let it be the Cavs and the Warriors because that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, we're kind of wasting our time. And, you know, that's part of the reason these games are uninterested is to me. As much as I like the Spurs, I don't think the Spurs or the Rockets have a chance against the Warriors. I give the Wizards a little bit of a chance against the Cavs, not a huge one, but a little one. You know, of course, depending on how long this series goes, I mean, if it's a 7-game series and LeBron is sitting around getting his rest, it's going to be ugly for whichever team ends up playing them, you know, because it's just almost not fair because I'm sure they'll start the day after that series ends and, you know, those guys will still be – you know, gassed. I'm surprised they don't start the same night, you know, make them play in the morning and then in the evening just to make sure the King is going to get his win. So, it's just kind of, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Let's get to the finals. You know, in reality, let's just get it over with. I mean, I don't even care who wins. So.
Yeah, this year I'm going to try to stick to it and I'm only going to watch the highlights the next morning. I mean, I don't know how they track our TVs and all that in the apps also, but I'm going to know that I'm watching. I want the ratings to go down if it's those two teams. You know, I was excited, you know, a couple of years ago with the Warriors. And then after last year, it's kind of like, whatever. You know, best record and then you blow it. That's just, I don't know. Although I did have to say, Big Jack, I think I don't know. I wouldn't say, I could say I don't hate LeBron anymore. I think I wasn't against him until he showed up in that final series for Miami, acting like a complete just crybaby jackass, you know, getting carried off the court with cramping. And that whole series was just such a joke to me, the way he acted. And then the way he played, you know, Pat Riley and pretty much, you know, the played Miami, making him believe that he's going to be there. I mean, we forget what was it. I forgot the kid's name and he had him draft. And, you know, that kid was like, screw you, LeBron. I'm not following you on Instagram anymore. You know, that rubbed me the wrong way. I think, you know, because he kind of led everyone on to believe he was going to stay in Miami, even if it was just for one more year. I don't know. I didn't like the way he did it. You know, I know everyone didn't like the way he, you know, he built the team, so to speak. But I think, you know, at least when he went down there, that was kind of the plan and they let everyone know. Where this one, he kind of like let you believe and then just really pulled the rug out from underneath everybody. So that just kind of irritated me and that's why I didn't want to see But with these playoffs, the way he's been playing, you know, it's like I've said all season. When he shuts the hell up and plays the game, this man, he's a great player. And he's going to go down as one of the greatest in the NBA. But it's just starting to start. It's just getting kind of old. So whether they win or lose, who cares? Let's just hope that maybe he picks a new team next year.
I'm to the point with him where I'm just kind of indifferent. Is he a great player? Yeah, he's probably the best player in the NBA right now. But, and it's always difficult to compare players from different eras. Yeah. There's two things I'm always going to hold over LeBron's head. You know, those great players didn't have to go somewhere to win a championship. The Michaels, the Kobe's. Even Dwayne Wade stayed in Miami and won one before LeBron got there. You can just kind of go down the list. Now, guys like, Jabbar did move to win his, but that was by trade. It wasn't his choice back then. Chamberlain was kind of the same way. But, Russell dominated with the Celtics. They didn't chase a title by getting all their friends together. They won with the guys they had. And then, of course, two, great players don't take days off. You play.
Yeah. I could, that one, you I know, could I, definitely 100% back.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about how difficult the schedule is, because transportation is so much easier and better now than what it used to be. So, I don't want to hear, we got to do this and we got to play back to back, or then we've got to go here. Every guy before you has done it. Some of them did it using a train. When you go back to the beginning of the league, they didn't always fly or, took the bus or whatever, they had team buses. So I don't want to hear I just need some rest. My body, no, you're whatever. Your body is your problem, buddy. If you're not in basketball shape to play, that's all on you.
Yeah, well,
give me the BS. I don't want to hear the BS about, I need to spend time with my family. You have all off season, pal. What are you doing all off season?
Hanging out with the homies or the party.
Right. Yeah. Last time you were going to spend time with your family, you ended up with in Miami, and then you went to a bowl game in Dallas. Your family wasn't there, but you were. So explain that one.
Now, I'm big on these, and I'm good at making them up. Yep, here we go.
I was worried there.
He got his friends together to, win some championships in Miami. So, maybe, coerced with these guys to kind of do their thing. But was there a bigger picture in place? Was he in cohesion or have plans with Cleveland's ownership in the sense that, hey, if I leave, then you've got a reason to really stink and be the worst team and get 5 draft picks in a row at the number one spot. And then I can come back and we can really do it.
Yeah, it would be an interesting theory if they didn't pretty much just botch all those draft picks.
Well, I mean, Wiggins worked out for a good trade for whatever.
Yeah. They did, the Kevin Love thing, that worked out for them. But, I think the one draft pick is out of the league. Everybody finally kind of gave up on him, Anthony Bennett. So, he's gone. I'm not sure who else they picked. you know, Kyrie obviously ended up being a pretty good pick. So, you know, that one did work out. But, yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, a lot of them were just busts. But, yeah, you know, it's, yeah, it's definitely an interesting theory. I mean, you know, it was a way for, you know, the fans to almost get energized because, you know, they supported the team more when he left and was the bad guy. And then, of course, when he comes back, he's the hero and they're still getting support. So, you know, you do wonder, you know, how much validity there is to that. I mean, maybe, you know, they had a little collusion going on. Maybe he told the guy, hey, you know, I'm going to go here, win a couple championships, and then I'll come back.
Collusion. And that's the word I was looking for, collusion.
Yeah. So, you know, it could be, you know, it's definitely within the realm of possibility. I mean, it's something, you know, I don't think we'll ever know the truth to ever, you know, unless somebody gives it up on their deathbed or something down the line. But yeah, it's definitely a, you know, a possibility.
It's a good one though. You like it, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you know, I'm always up for a good, you know, a good story like that. You know, I get it, you know, I get a kick out of that. You know, oddly, I mean, a lot of your Cubs theories were very close to true with, you know, a lot of that stuff. So, you know, it's not as wacky as some people might think.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the one thing that everyone makes, you know, and I think the one thing is great about the Cubs with the ownership is you got a guy who's kind of in the background. And while he's allowing, pretty much giving, you know, Theo's taking all the credit. And, you know, I'm not buying it, that it was all Theo's plan. Everyone makes you believe that it was Theo's plan to do this five-year rebuild. Where when you look at it, like I said, I was in school for accounting at the time. And everything in accounting is based off of 5 years. So how is, you know, is that coincidental that Theo has a five-year plan? When you look at what the Ricketts have done to the stadium inside and out, you know, you crunch your numbers and you figure, hey, we've got these many, you know, season tickets that we're selling and we want to do this. So we need a guy who's going to kind of take the baseball operations and rework that. We don't care what he does because we got to rebuild the stadium. And if people don't show up while the stadium is under construction, well, we'll still have those, you know, set amount of season ticket holders to cover the cost. And the balance itself out.
All right, well, Dan's going to take his foil hat off, and we're going to go for the day. But don't worry, we're back tomorrow at 5:30 live. Of course, you know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com, check out what's going on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Please give that a like. We'd appreciate it. There's also the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. Now, you know, Dan and I are out there on the Twitterverse as well if you want to look us up. As always, a big thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.